Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Purpose Tune Podcast. The goal of my show is to create valuable content to broaden your knowledge, inspire you, and get you in the right mindset so that you can apply it in your own life to drive impact, generate meaning, and achieve your purpose.
Now, today's guest is Josh Greenbaum. Josh is an advisory CFO, author, and outdoor enthusiast living in Los Angeles, who supports consulting, digital marketing, and management and talent representation companies. In the 15 years as a consultant, he has helped startups, celebrities, and founders raise money, expand their teams, and prepare to exit the business through sophisticated financial management. Josh's book, Numbers Scare Me and Other Excuses, A Business Owner's Guide to Lead Like a CFO, educates business owners on how to take financial control and lead with confidence and purpose. So Josh, thank you so much for joining me today. Welcome to
the show. Thank you for having me.
Yeah. How are you doing?
I'm doing really well. It's a Monday morning, feeling good about the week. It's a great start.
That's awesome. I love that energy and what a great start to the show. So aside from what I've read about yourself, could you tell us a little bit about your background, why you chose this line of work, what inspired you into this type of work?
So it's interesting. My path into the world of accounting is very, very unique, I think, in that professionally speaking, I started at one of the largest accounting firms in the world, PricewaterhouseCoopers, in their financial audit group. So very buttoned up, very professional, et cetera, et cetera. And contrasting that, I fell in love with accounting or that aspect of business through a little job I had in college. And I realized that my understanding of numbers, the application of accounting within the small business environment, even just there, was what actually really lit me up inside. And I got to help the owner expand to a second location for his business. And it sort of dropped those little seeds of the role that I could play with a company. So that is then ultimately what started me at the largest firm in the world, my love for small business.
That's awesome. So tell us a little bit about your entrepreneurial journey to launching this company. You've been doing this for more than a decade, if I'm correct. And there must have been, of course, challenges and bumps along the road. How do you manage them? What's some of the practices that you have implemented in your own lives to ensure that you're always on track to your goal?
So it's interesting. I mean, there's a couple of questions in there. One is, I think my journey into entrepreneurship as a business owner was, I think like many people sometimes, was accidental in nature, in that I was on a very, accounting in itself is such a specific trajectory, right? There's so many like direct career paths that one would take. And none of it felt aligned with me, though along the way, I got a project to build a financial model for a startup maybe 4 or 5 years into my career. And that completely lit me up. Brand new company. It was with a famous entertainer, his first startup company. And I felt very drawn towards that project. I just almost obsessively worked on it. And so that began the path for me into kind of these smaller startup type businesses. And one of the clients along the way offered me a role coming out of my full-time job, but it was significantly less money than I had been making prior. So I was so intrigued by what they were doing and what I thought I could do with my career that I took the opportunity, took the pay cut, and then understood that, okay, I could piece my income back together incrementally. And it was a really kind of elementary thought to entrepreneurship in that I wasn't solving how to build a business at the time. I was solving for the fact that I wanted to work for this group and I needed to make up a little more money, right? So that was sort of my introduction or steps into owning my own business. And, you know, from that and taking years to develop, to get to your other question was, how do I then manage myself? And how do you stay on top of things and stay organized and whatnot? That really took, like I said, years to develop, to even then understand. You know, it's such an interesting dichotomy to be within a role in a professional environment and do your job and be able to do it well. And to me, that's such credit to the organization of those businesses, right? And you can do the exact same thing and step out on your own and feel completely lost. And that's what took a long time to develop of, who am I to people? What services am I really offering? What is, you know, how am I showing up every day? Who do I want to be to these people? What is the value that I'm delivering? And that, you know, in short or in long, took me towards defining the tools that I'm operating with, defining the project management software I'm going to use, and what that's going to mean to me on a day-to-day basis. So that's really how I've organized myself.
That's awesome. That's what a powerful story. It almost sounds like you were taking some steps and one thing led to another, and then ultimately it just sort of like worked out.
Yeah, you know, I mean, I actually like the simplicity of how you phrase that, because I think that there's something really in that. Meaning there wasn't a grand plan. Mm-hmm. I found, you know, X, Y, and Z to be interesting and wanted to move towards that. Right. And I didn't know where that was going to lead me. I didn't feel like I was derailing my career in any way to leave big accounting, you know, a big accounting firm and go for this small little startup. It all seemed logically or illogically or subconsciously, it all made sense to me because that seemed more interesting or a better fit for me. And that is what then propelled me forward, I think, of to find projects that lit me up inside versus strictly what was the quote unquote appropriate career path to be taken.
Right. That's amazing. So of course the show is about purpose, and how does it show up in your work?
Purpose for me is all about me, my responsibility as a professional, and that specifically means the work that I'm delivering, the attitude that I bring to clients, the attitude I bring to myself each day. And that to me is purpose. That is really, in whatever capacity a person is working in, that's all you really have, right? I had a brief story for you. I had a pivotal moment in my career, again, a little right around that launching, that jumping off point as I'm sort of launching my own business, mm-hmm. where my quote unquote last boss that I had, as I was leaving the company, he actually told me that I was completely replaceable. And it was a really interesting moment that initially stung my ego to be told that I was replaceable. And then quickly after, it was actually really empowering to know that I'm completely replaceable, because if I'm totally replaceable, then what am I going to do to be me, to show up differently? And that to me gets down to purpose and value and all these sort of internal things that then create the brand that each of us are.
Fascinating. So I think what I'm hearing from you is when you're told you're replaceable, that you then, it gives you the opportunity to be someone else.
Yes.
That it actually... It actually is an indication that you are more than what they think you are.
Yeah, it's that. And, you know, I think that a comment like that really then means that you're within sort of like a commoditized world where it's a lot of the same. Mm-hmm. So then if there is a lot of the same, how do you then show up differently to be unique within that and to show your personality and allow personality to come out within a boring commoditized industry of accounting, right? Because it's still valuable. And that's then to me, what creates opportunity and the life that you want for yourself.
Mm. Fascinating. So speaking of authenticity, what does it mean to you? And do people, are there differences in terms of perceptions, how you see yourself and how other people see you?
I imagine so. I feel like we need to ask them. But yeah, I mean, being authentic, the element of authenticity is, to me, in the professional scenario, is to not just show up as yourself, the commitment to deliver on what a client needs. So the authentic piece comes in from the very, very get-go of if you're a potential client of mine and I've never worked within your space or your industry, I need to be honest with you and upfront from the get-go. And I can perhaps solve 40% of your needs and not 100%. And that's fine because perhaps the 40% is going to suffice for the next 6 months, or the next year. And I can help you bridge that. And we can be open and honest about when that transition then needs to happen, because ultimately it's you, it's your business. It's about the success of that versus me taking your money to provide something that I might not be great at.
Thanks for sharing that. So my next question here is, of course, you've been on this entrepreneurial journey for quite some time. What are some of your habits that have helped you launch this business successfully?
I think making lists. I think that's for all the tools and project management things that I have in place and calendars and my obsessiveness with that organization. So often it's me starting my day, grabbing a pen and a piece of paper, making a list. And it always looks the same. I have like an abbreviation for each client name. And then I list all the tasks that I need to do. Mm-hmm. And I think a lot of it comes back to both like doing the mind dump of what do I want to get done today? What was I wrestling with as I was trying to sleep last night? And then that feeling of finalizing the day, right? There's sort of like the endless opportunity to keep doing work, to keep working. And also knowing that once I get these 7 things done, I actually accomplish what I wanted to get done today. So everything else is either the cherry on top, you know, I have extra time or feeling inspired to do more work, or maybe I'm just done and I call it a day at 2:00.
Mm-hmm. When did you consider yourself as a success? And in also what inspired you to achieve success?
So success for me, feeling successful, was a very, very long time coming. Probably, I don't know, 7-8 years into my 15 years. And what brought that about was I've had 2 moments during the past, these 15 years, where I stepped back and took a regular job. And one of those occasions being that 2 of my large clients went through exits. They both sold, and they both sold in the exact same month. And I was left with no more work. And it was a humbling lesson in the need to market and, you know, keep the pipeline going, right? So the best option I felt at that moment was, let's not stress about it. Let's just go get a job. So I got a job at a consulting company, very exact services to what I provide. And what that did for me is that it gave me context again of working with my peers, because I had worked by myself for so long. And as I worked for myself, I didn't understand completely the value that was I was providing and how valuable that was, in that sometimes it's the things that are simplistic to me are valuable to you, and I can lose sense of that value, right? So it was both, I think, the evolution of that understanding, wow, like I actually am able to help a lot of people. And then ultimately getting back in an environment where I was around my peers is then where I gained the perspective of, holy cow, like this is how so-and-so operates. This is how so-and-so operates. This is, you know, it really like solidified who I was as a consulting CFO, how I could communicate to training staff under me, how I could communicate to clients and get them to understand, you know, no judgment to other people who I worked with. I think I'm great at being able to deliver complicated technical issues to non-accountants, right? And so that's where I started to feel success. It's like, oh, that's really valuable. And that was something that I'm inherently doing and didn't have that context. So that was the feeling of success for me. I've always tied, I've tied success, you know, moments of where I felt really inspired to projects that I'm working on, people who I get to work with. I've tied my success to that more so than money at times. And, you know, I think that that's good and bad, in that it's given me such a wealth of experience and knowledge that may have taken twice as long within a traditional career path to get my hands dirty with helping companies raise money, helping companies sell, setting up accounting systems, solving the messiness of a previous account, right? Like I know how to get in there and do it all, right? So finding the inspiration and the success and the fulfillment around the people who I love working with, right? And that to me has to equally balance between the financial success of it as well for myself as a business owner.
That's amazing. I love the point you made about how sometimes what I got from it was success isn't just defined by financial gains, but also the relationships that we built. Could you share with us one or two examples of a client that you had where that was the case? And what was it about the relationship or elements of that relationship that really propelled you forward to continue working with them and develop this bond?
For sure. You know, I think so much comes from the you know, seeding that relationship from a good, from the right place. And again, so many people approach these things differently. So for me, starting it is really defining what is a person's goal, a client, a potential client's goal. What is their goal personally? What's their goal professionally? And from that, I think you start the professional relationship in a place that is way more aligned than let's just get your books in order, right? Mm-hmm. Because everyone's head is in a different place, right? Some people, it may be, and I'll give you a specific example, but to speak generally, you know, some people, they just have like a little side hustle going on and they just need some support, right? Maybe, and they have a full-time job. They're early on, you know, they just need a little hand-holding. Other people want to scale up their business really fast. And it's like financial, right? Other people, you know, everyone's kind of coming with their own objectives. So to give you a specific example, a client of mine who I've worked with for a few years now, she and her husband have built a great business. It's a marketing agency and does really well. You know, they do a couple million in revenue. And one of her core objectives was just wanting to understand the financial statements better. That was like kind of it. She knew conceptually like where she needed to be and how she wanted to grow and all these things, except that she didn't know how to read the financial statements that she was getting each month. So she felt like she was sort of aimlessly charging forward. And so through that, we were able to really just take that step back, augment the financial statements that she got each month into a format that she fully understood, which then led to very productive meetings each month when we would do a check-in, which led to her being able to acquire other companies and continue to grow and open new offices. And it all came from a place of, what's your goal here, right? And just getting very clear from the starting point of what that was.
That's amazing. In terms of, so while we're continue to go on this journey of success and what it means to you, of course, success to people means different things. And there was this quote, I think it was Tony Robbins that said, success is where you achieve fulfillment. And people who have achieved financial wealth wouldn't consider themselves as successful because there's still a gap that they're missing and it isn't fulfilling them. And so to continue with that concept of, you know, what really is success and how does success fulfill our happiness? What's your take on that? Do you think it's
so? What I really hear and what first comes up for me when you say that is the notion of life design. And okay. I took a step back. If I think back to, you know, two and a half years ago from now, I was exhausted. I was really exhausted. Here I am, I'm making a nice living, working for myself, the independence of the whole thing. I can choose who I'm working with, not working with. And on one hand, that was great. And on the other hand, it is, where am I even trying to go with this? And on the third hand was, what's the point, right? And so it really took a lot of working with other professionals, meaning like business coaches and people of that sort, to really like crack my brain into taking a step back and thinking differently. Mm-hmm. And so again, with the underlying thing of life design being, okay, from the surface, from the get-go, I knew I don't want to build up a big firm. I didn't want a lot of people working for me. And that's a natural way to scale, to build a service-based company. So, okay, fine. If I don't want a lot of people and I want to retain my flexibility, again, where does this all go? So that to me was the biggest element that I, you know, faced and that I wanted to solve. And what that really took me to was understanding again, like, who am I to people and what do I really love about my job and what I do? And it's not, you know, the answer is that it, in some degree, like the numbers aspect of it is so secondary and it's so foundational. Again, like that's the replaceable part of my job. Plenty of accountants out there, very smart people. You can find us anywhere. And so what I then tapped into for myself was that level of communication that I spoke of, that ability to communicate with clients, that ability to get someone who hates numbers and hates accounting, never wants to open QuickBooks or see financial statements. How do you make them not fall in love with it? Rather, I guess, find the importance into it and to embrace it enough to understand how important it is. And so ultimately what that then told me was it's an educational aspect of what I'm doing. It's not the practice of the numbers. And really like that was, again, 2 years ago, which led to the foundation of what then became the book that I wrote of how, if I can communicate this so well, and I know instinctively you can sit me down in front of somebody and I will be able to get you to understand, what the real challenge was, is how do I distill all this down into a book, into a concrete framework, and how can I, what, you know, the challenge of dissecting this from my own brain and actually giving process and thought and specific words to all this that I can casually, you know, communicate to others.
Right. Wow. That's, you certainly have done your internal work. Bring this out into the open and discuss
about years it. And years and years.
That's amazing. So of course we had touched about the challenges and I wanted to visit that point a little bit more in terms of, you know, how do you push yourself through difficult times? Are there things you look up to? Is there, you know, people that you look up to push you through these challenging times?
Sure. You know, I think the two things that really helped me get through difficult times, one has been the element of sport in my life. I've been, I'll say at times, I've been a triathlete. I've been I've done an Ironman. I am a long distance runner. I've done tons of marathons. I've done a few ultra marathons. And so reflecting on that notion of physical pain, you know, to do an Ironman, to do a 50 mile ultra marathon, you have many, many points throughout that day where you are in excruciating pain, which then leads to perhaps, you know, the mental breakdown, and then to work through that, right? And to use like literally a running analogy, that you might be a little sore, you might feel a little defeated, and then you just walk, just go walk for a little bit. And then perhaps in a little bit, all that lactic acid comes out of your legs, and then you can jog a little bit, and then boom, you're moving, right? So that's something that has often come up over the years in terms of thinking about difficulty. And then quite frankly, like if I am frustrated, maybe I do need to just go on a walk or go for a run, and that will clear my head. The other piece of difficult, breaking through difficult situations is that my clients, I look at like family to me. I so admire not just my clients, but small business owners in general. The amount of work, the guts, the blood, sweat, tears, money, energy, responsibility to themselves, to those who they employ, it is no small hurdle. And I feel extraordinarily invested in them and what they do. And so when I'm tired, I remember I'm a small business owner. I remember how much I value others being there for me. And again, it's almost like hang up the ego and let's push through something tough and just get on the phone with the client. Just talk to them. It doesn't have to be accomplishing anything. It doesn't have to be anything other than it's the relationship of it. You know what I mean? It's not the business of it. It's the supportiveness. It's the community of it. It's those are the elements that I think remind me why I love doing this and why I love the people who I work with. And that is what pulls through hard times.
That's amazing. Wow. It's powerful stuff. The relationships that you're attached to, the story that your clients have in terms of them running their own show, but also supporting their employees and themselves. I mean, those are things that, you know, would wake up anyone and get excited about life and say, you know, I'm making a difference in people's lives. And that's why I'm here and on this earth, is that to make an impact. Of course, you know, generating money and things like that is important. You have to have a roof over your head and the table. But once those basic needs are met, the ability to make an impact is so fulfilling. And
an impact is such a great specific word. I mean, that was a word that I really honed in on with my own brand. You know, I recently launched my new website and went through all the copy that I previously had to redefine it. And impact, I love that you use that word, because that was a word that kept coming up. I felt very conflicted with the growth of, you know, I'm going to 7x a company. I'm going to achieve a seven-figure business. I'm going to scale. Like, those words make me cringe a little bit on the inside. And I know that they're important words, and I know that they resonate with many people, and it's great. And going back to an initial goal somebody has, that might be their goal, right? Mm-hmm. Though also the idea of impact, I think, is so important. And at the core of that whole thing of, maybe you just want this little side business and you're creating impact for others. And that's totally great. That's totally okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's great. I mean, of course, value, impact, fulfillment, all of those things are so important to an entrepreneur. And it sounds like you're on the right path to either achieve those or have already achieved those, and you're continuing to do so. So congratulations.
Thank you.
What advice would you give my listeners who are listening to the show, thinking about purpose and meaning and how they can launch either their own business or develop relationships with clients?
So from the notion of purpose, the thing that I think about the most is how it's the personal responsibility side of things. I think about that we all have the opportunity to show up however we want to show up, to find it within ourselves, to have the confidence to start something new, to find the optimistic side of a bad day, right? Those to me are the tools of not just success in the kind of traditional sense, but also happiness, right? Of your own kind of personal growth. So that's really how I look at purpose and advice that I would give somebody. On the starting a business side, what I like to tell people is that so many people, when they're starting, love to go like heads down. You know, it's almost like they cocoon inside into the fetal position, and I'm not going to tell anyone my idea because I'm ashamed, I'm embarrassed, I don't want anyone to steal my idea, all the reasons, right? And the truth is that building a business is so hard that nobody will ever steal your idea. It's so hard that you may not even want to do it as you get into it, right? So then what I would say, and my advice, is really to open yourself up to the network around you. I feel like everybody must know a lawyer, an accountant, you know, a digital marketing person. Just go start asking them questions. Go pick people's brains endlessly and unapologetically to get advice so that you're starting from a good place and that you are learning from other people's mistakes. So, like, for example, something that I would tell people is often I think people start businesses as a side hustle, right? And then as a side hustle, I have my great full-time job. I just picked up like a client or two on the side, no big deal. Charging them a few $100. The extra money's nice. It covers my car payment. Cool. Well, if all you're charging is a few $100 and you should have been charging $1,500, you've now defined yourself as a really cheap commoditized solution, and it's going to be hard to crack that shell and to think about the true value that you're providing, the true deliverables that you're giving to clients. And you need to really establish that from the get-go, because it's a hard identity to crack to the extent that you ever want it to become more. So whatever capacity you're in, just, you know, fully own it and be that person, because that's how you're being received. You're not being received as a side hustle to the person you're providing service to. They don't care that you have a full-time job. You're delivering, they're receiving. Just show up, do great work, and charge what you're worth. Mm-hmm. And so that's, you know, that's my piece of advice to people just getting started. And again, you know, the general advice of just start talking to people, just start asking questions.
Yeah, you mentioned so many good points there. So the point I want to cover here is about showing up, the power of it, right? Even when I have bad days or times where I don't want to show up, I still do. And at the end of that interaction, meeting, I feel good about it. I'm like, wow, like I pushed myself through that difficult moment where I didn't feel like I wanted to show up. And yeah. I did, and I accomplished it. So in itself, it's almost a success or a reward for going through that pain of not showing up and then of course doing so. The other point you made was about how, you know, when we're in this entrepreneurial journey, network and get to know people, and they may have ideas that we haven't really thought about it. And then on top of that, I wanted to add asking not just for advice, but also a mentor. I think mentorship is so crucial, especially for people who are building a business, because oftentimes we don't know what we're actually doing. And so to have that guidance, people who've actually done it can, you know, that they can guide us through that journey would be so helpful.
I think that's great advice. I think, you know, to formally call it even like the business plan, right? But to have that sounding board of a person that literally allows you, if nothing else, to verbalize the thoughts that you have, right? You can think about, we've all done it, right? We've all thought about all the businesses that we want to start and the domains that we want to buy. But having that person who's not just listening to you and allowing you to say these words out loud, and then, but to also ask questions back and challenge those thoughts and perhaps ask questions that will evolve an idea to something even greater. So yeah, mentorship is definitely a great, great point to add.
Yeah, yeah. And then the other point you mentioned that I thought was just wonderful was about building a business is hard. And even if we do share our ideas about business, people aren't going to steal it because the steps that you have to take, the processes, the people, the systems that you have to put in place, the consistency, the grit, motivation, inspiration, all of that comes into play into building a business. And so I think it's actually a good idea for people to talk about their business out loud and to even find ways to affirm that they are worthy of the business. And what I found through my career is that when I have a good idea and I share it with people who are close to me, that it actually gets the creativity flowing. And
yeah,
things that I haven't really thought about, you know, people would thought about and say, hey, you should do this, you should do that. And of course, at the end of the day, it's up to me to decide, but at least there's that dialogue that's going.
And so, you know what else you remind me of in that is, it really reminds you of how much support you have around you, that people want you to win. They want you to succeed. They want you to go on that journey and they're there for you. They're there to cheer you on along the way.
Yeah, that is such a positive outlook. And if we start with that positive outlook, we can actually do a lot of things with a business. What I found is that, you know, reality, there isn't really a good or bad thing. And reality isn't good or bad, it's what you think of it. And so your mind is so powerful. And so it's important to connect with those people that know, that you know, that supports you, and to be surrounded by things in your environment that inspire you to continue going. We don't feel like going. And so these are just some of the practices that we can implement in our lives.
Definitely, definitely.
Yeah. Well, we're about that time. Josh, if people want to connect with you, where can they find you?
Best place to go would be to my website, cfominded.com.
Awesome. And folks, if you enjoyed this content, please do subscribe to my channel so that will give me an indication to continue producing these meaningful content on a weekly basis. I hope that you'll also like and share this episode with your friends and family. And thank you for listening.